Hello, I'm Liz Curtis-Higgs. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Word by Word. Some stories in the Bible are meant to strike fear in our hearts, and this is one of them. Oh, not because something goes bump in the night, but because in this story, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, displays His mighty power. Welcome to Word by Word with Liz Curtis-Higgs. Each weekend here in the Faith Radio Network, we look at a different biblical character. Today we're going to look at two, actually, a husband and wife named Ananias and Sapphira. It's recorded in Acts 5, and it is not, I'm going to tell you right now, a pretty story. But it is an important one. It's in God's Word, and so we need to study it. Our scene opens with the first century church exploding in growth. The story opens in the closing verses of Acts 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. Wow. Imagine it. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. I want you to think about this little passage from Acts 4. What it says to us about how the church is meant to be. That everybody was in one heart and mind. That they didn't hang on to their stuff, but they shared it with each other. And at the center of this is this important truth. With great power, that would be Holy Spirit power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection. It was the resurrection of the Christ and all that that promised that gave people this ability to let go of their stuff, to love others as they love themselves, to share and to experience as one what it meant to serve God. No needy persons among them. Father God, let us hear this today. Such a wonderful thing to aim for as a church, that there would be no needy persons among us, that we would, through the power of the Holy Spirit, meet their needs. Well, story continues. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. That's quite the introduction. Here's his name. Here's his tribe. Here's where he was from. Here was his nickname and what it meant. All of that. We just call him Barnabas. But he was Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. And his name means son of encouragement. Here's how he demonstrated that, as Acts 4:37 goes on. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas encouraged others by his good example. The problem is sometimes we see what somebody is doing and we want the result, which was people praising Barnabas, no doubt. And we want that result, but our motives are less than pure. They're born of jealousy, or they're born of pride. Acts 5:1 begins now, and that means a turn in the story. A man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. So we know this is tied to the Barnabas story because they also sold a piece of property. What do we know about them so far? Well, they're part of the church community. And the second thing is, they had the means to further God's kingdom in a significant way. So, sounds good, but. And notice how it goes on to say, with his wife's full knowledge. So, she is introduced when Ananias is, and now Sapphira has full knowledge of what her husband's doing. He kept back part of the money for himself. And again, Sapphira is included. It's also translated his wife had agreed to this deception. They agreed to cheat. Now, we can only imagine how they convinced each other that this behavior was acceptable. What did they say? Well, what would we say? It's our money, isn't it? Or Others probably set some aside too, didn't give it all to God. And anyway, the Lord knows we need the money. And look how much we're going to give. How about this is our little secret? Who knows what they said to one another, but those are the way human thoughts often run. Ananias brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Acts 5:2. Now remember, they had a right to sell or to not sell their property, and they had a right to give or not give all the proceeds to the young church. The problem isn't actually the money. The problem is that Ananias pretended he was bringing all of it, just like Barnabas did. Well, he didn't get away with it, did he? Acts 5:3 says, Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan... That's what it says. How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Also translated, why did you let Satan rule your thoughts? How is it that Satan has influenced you? Why did you let Satan take control of you? See, Peter knew who was really to blame here. Oh, that wily old serpent was up to his wily old tricks, infiltrating the young church and tempting its members to lie. And doesn't that remind us of the first couple in the Bible? We talked about Eve not so long ago. Adam and Eve were tempted by the serpent. First Eve, but then Adam also sinned, remember? And of course, they tried to cover their sins, their lies, their lies. They lied to God. And they used fig leaves, just like we often do. The problem is when we try to hide our sins, others may be fooled, but God is never fooled. In fact, Jesus once told the Pharisees, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Matthew 23:28. In the same way, inside Ananias, the enemy's lies had crowded out the truth, and Peter, who was full of the Holy Spirit, could see that, revealed to him by God. And he goes on to charge him, and you've kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land, Acts 5:3. Well, you can hear the disappointment and the frustration and the anger in Peter's words. And he reminded Ananias of the facts. Didn't this belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? There is no excuse here. The land was yours, you sold it, then the money was yours. We can almost see Peter shaking his head. What made you think of doing such a thing? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Now we know why, and Peter knew why he said so. It was Satan. But we still shake our head. Oh, Ananias, what were you thinking? Of course, the problem was Ananias wasn't thinking, and he wasn't reasoning, and he wasn't considering the consequences. Instead, he listened to the enemy of his soul and the enemy of our soul. He ignored the one who loved him, who came to earth for him, who gave us life for him. Remember how close on the heels we are of the resurrection here. The man is without excuse. Guess what? So are we. How can we avoid doing the same kind of thing that Ananias did? It's not hard. We fill our thoughts with God's word so that we recognize the truth when we hear it, and we recognize lies when we hear those. As God said through the prophet Isaiah, listen and hear my voice. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. See, other voices may be louder, but none are going to be more loving. Other voices may be more demanding, but only one voice deserves our undivided attention. Peter is not done revealing the sins of Ananias. In Acts 5:4, he says, you have not lied to men, but to God. Peter wanted to make this clear, as the NCV puts it, you lied to God, not to us. Ananias probably thought he was just lying to Peter. But no, he was lying to the Lord. It's like David said in Psalm 51:4, against you, you only have I sinned. Ananias had ceased believing, if in fact he ever believed, in God's sovereignty, in God's omnipotence, and in God's knowledge of all things. Ananias must have thought that he could get away with lying because God wasn't powerful enough to know the difference. Satan had fully convinced Ananias that God couldn't discern man's thoughts, that God couldn't know his motives, and God couldn't discover his secrets. Of course, Ananias realized suddenly that none of that was true, and he knew he was a goner. Acts 5:5 says, when he heard this, he fell down and died. Wow. God's judgment is very swift here and very terrible. I got to be honest, this is not a typical New Testament story. The New Testament is all about grace, 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 and we think of the Old Testament as full of stories of judgment. But here, at the start of the church, it was important this story happened. Something had to be done. An example had to be made. The newborn church needed to know that the Spirit of God wields power, the power of life and the power of death, and he will not be tested, not in any season and not for any reason. If only, how many times do we say that in life? If only Ananias had fallen to his knees and confessed the truth and repented of his sin and pleaded for mercy. But he didn't do any of those things. He fell, all right. He dropped dead. What happened next? Great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Now, this is in the same verse where he fell down dead, so you get the sense the news traveled really fast. Everyone who heard about his death was terrified. I told you this was a scary story. But I believe God's intent is what we find in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Well, the new church needed to understand. They'd only recently been filled with the Holy Spirit. We're in Acts 5 now. Back in Acts 2 is when the church as a body was filled with the Holy Spirit. But these men and women needed to know what kind of supernatural power they were dealing with. See, the Holy Spirit is serious business. He isn't a messenger of God. He isn't a servant of God. He isn't a friend of God. He is God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which means we cannot escape his presence. We can't keep things hidden from him, and we definitely cannot lie to him. Ananias wasn't the only one who needed to learn this. We do too. Sometimes when I pray, I begin with, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry to come to you with this, as if he doesn't know. Now, we still have to confess. It's still that first step, confession, repentance, contrition. And then the grace of God pours over us, just as he promises it will in his word. But this young church, they needed to understand, as Paul would warn them in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. What a lesson for us. And God has kindly taught us through the story of Ananias, so we don't need to have the same thing happen to us. Then the young men came forward, Acts 5:6 continues, wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. So he was given respect, but what he wasn't given was a second chance. And that was for the good of the church, and that was for the glory of God. If you're just joining us now, you're listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs. Today we're spending time in Acts 5 with the story of Ananias and Sapphira, verse by verse and, yep, word by word. You can listen from the beginning on the podcast, MyFaithRadio.com or LizCurtisHiggs.com. You'll also find a more in-depth study of this story in my book, Bad Girls of the Bible. And you'll find a study guide on both our websites here as well. Oh, and if you're a Pinterest person, do take a peek at Sapphira's Green with Envy Pinterest board. I promise it's a gem. Just go to Pinterest.com/Liz Curtis Higgs and look for Sapphira. Now, back to our scene. Sadly, but necessarily, it was important, Ananias has just dropped dead. Acts 5:7 tells us, about 3 hours later, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. Unaware, one translation says, and ignorant. Oh, she knew he lied. She just didn't understand he died. And I'm thinking, how is that possible that she didn't know? I think we go back here to the fear of the Lord. I think people were too scared to tell her. Imagine how people in those 3 hours avoided the company of Sapphira. Because clearly it seemed that God was putting this couple to the test, and the young church was not about to interfere. So now it's time for Sapphira's final exam. Is she going to pass? Peter asked her, Acts 5:8. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Now see, in the first century, a wife could insist that she'd merely obeyed her husband's orders, and she would be excused from any punishment for his wrongdoing. So she has to be asked separately and individually, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? He is holding her responsible, even as God holds us responsible. I mean, we stand alone before our Lord. We can't say, my husband made me do this, or my kids made me do this, or the devil made me do this. Yeah, Eve tried that one, remember? When it comes to judgment, God is exceedingly fair and entirely just, as Sapphira is about to find out. So did she struggle? Did she hesitate? We don't know. It doesn't sound like it. What matters is what she said and what she did. Yes, she said, that is the price. That was all we got for the field. That is how much it was. I can imagine, and I'm sure you can too, the faces of those who were standing around watching this. Because Sapphira didn't know what was coming next, but they did. They had just watched Ananias fall down dead. They had to know that was what was coming next. Can you see their strained expressions, wanting to stop her, wanting to help her, wanting to say, choose wisely, Sapphira, speak the truth. And as you're picturing them, I want you to picture the faces of your own Christian friends. Have you ever seen a look of concern there? Have they ever been fearful for you? Have they been cautioning you lately? You might want to rethink that. That's not a great idea. The Bible doesn't really tell us that's okay. You know, it's hard to speak the truth, especially to our friends in the faith. But it's far more dangerous to ignore the truth. And Peter was not going to let Sapphira ignore the truth. And I think he was probably just as angry and upset and frustrated and disappointed in Sapphira as he was in Ananias. Peter said to her, Acts 5:9, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Also translated, why did you people plot? How could you scheme? What is this conspiracy between you? So he knew it was something they decided together. And yes, she's going to be held accountable. And no, she can't say, my husband made me do it. Peter goes on, look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. I think we can be pretty sure Peter took no pleasure in this. And I can think of, this is hardly a comparison, but it still comes to mind. Years ago when I was a manager at a radio station, I had to fire people. I had to let them go. That was so hard. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. Even, frankly, if they deserved it. It's so hard to say to somebody, you're out of here. But it's one thing to say, you're out of a job. Peter had to say, you're out of this world. You're gone. Acts 5:10 says, at that moment. So immediately, all at once, instantly, straight away. All those words that indicate there is no time between his statement and what happens next. She fell down at his feet and died. She collapsed at his feet. She gave up the ghost. She breathed her last. It's interesting to me how many mentions of feet there are in this story. The money was laid at Peter's feet. People fell dead at his feet. And we hear the feet of people at the door. And now Sapphira is going out feet first. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Acts 5:10. Honored in death, but not honored in life, which is sad because that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be approved of. They wanted to be applauded. Instead, they were annihilated. Brings to mind the saying we find in Proverbs 24:20, the evildoer has no future hope, and the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out. Yep, that's exactly what happened here. Now, we on this side of the cross, we ask, why was there no mercy for Ananias and Sapphira? Because clearly they did not trust in God, and they were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. Just because they belonged to the congregation doesn't mean they belonged to God. Wow. True for today as well. Now, what happened next? Because this is really the story about this story. Acts 5:11 tells us, great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Oh yeah, they flipped out when Ananias fell down dead, but now his wife has also? Wow, great fear, trepidation, and dread seized the whole church, the CEB says. Everyone who heard of these things had a healthy respect for God. And that was the point, not that one couple died. Tragic, yes, but that really wasn't the point of this story. It's that the whole church now lived in awe of God. And that word awe, we toss it around all the time. Oh, awesome. But to be awesome, you would be filled with awe, filled with fear, trepidation. A respect that goes way deeper than a typical respect. Fear of the Lord. It's deep and life-changing. Acts 5:12 says, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And you can be sure they were paying attention now, because the Holy Spirit had revealed his power. He was not to be trifled with. He was to be trusted. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Acts 5:12. So the church is more powerful. It's growing. People are drawn together. They don't want to be left out. They want to be counted among the believers. The church was really more committed than ever. Now, here's how it looked from the outside, Acts 5:13. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. We can imagine them kind of keeping their distance because they knew their own sins. And now they understood that God knew them too. I get this. I stayed away from the church for years because I told myself, oh my word, if people really knew the kind of person I am. Well, God really knew, and he wooed me anyway. He helps us overcome our fear of man so we can have a proper fear of the Lord. Acts 5:14, nevertheless, even though they were afraid of these new Christians, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Acts 5:14. Throngs of believers. Don't you love that word? Throngs of believers were added. Multitudes of both men and women. Yes, two lives were lost, but thousands were saved for eternity. Because Ananias and Sapphira showed us what not to do. You've been listening to Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs, and I hope you'll listen again on the podcast, hear the whole thing on myfaithradio.com, lizcurtishiggs.com. That's also where you'll find our study guide as well. For now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a hard story. There's nothing joyful about it. There's nothing pleasant about it. It's frightening, and it should be. But Lord, the fear that we need to have of you is an understanding of your power. Not to make us cower in fear, but to bow in humility. Lord, you love us so much, you do not want us to have this fate of Ananias and Sapphira. This is not what you want for your people. But you do show us what the result is of not believing in you, of not trusting in you, of taking your power lightly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, Father, please help us be wise. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to Word by Word. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. Why not share this audio link with a friend? And take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player so you never miss an edition of Word by Word with Liz Curtis Higgs.